It's time to speak out on the original Speak Out radio show. Speak Out is a public affairs program that serves you, our listeners, and the community you live in. Speak Out is all about listener participation. So call in anytime during the show. 928-854-5687. That's 854-5687. Speak Out on KNTR Talk is heard on 106.7, 5, and 3. You can also listen at KNTRTalk.com and listen anywhere through the TuneIn Radio app. From elected officials, community leaders, small business owners, school district representatives, and charitable causes, Speak Out is here for you on KNTR Talk. It's time to introduce you to the host of Speak Out. When Dwayne Johnson calls for a stunt double, who does The Rock turn to?
No police!
When Ham the astroturf said, no more space flights! Who did great minds at NASA turn to?
No police!
Now, this world-renowned actor slash daredevil has settled behind the microphone once again for your benefit. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only, he's the poster child for no cloning, Paul LaVoy.
Our house in the middle of our street. Our house in the middle of our street.
All right, welcome to the Real Estate Power Hour.
Boom!
That's it. That's it. Chad's in a rearing mood today. He's in a, I don't know what you call it, right? Like a soldier of fortune mood.
I'm excited.
All right. Have you raced lately, by the way?
We raced last weekend.
You did? How did you do?
We got sixth.
Sixth?
Yeah.
So since you've been on, though, you've raced at least twice, right?
Four times. You mean this season?
Yes.
Yeah, like four times.
Four times. Nice.
Yeah.
And
we race March 7th again.
March 7th.
Yeah.
Nice, nice, nice. Did you watch Daytona?
I did.
We had it.
What an end.
We had it live on Sunday.
What an end.
I couldn't believe it. There were no stoppages.
You know the...
No delays.
Yeah.
What
well,
I mean.
They,
or
some
they kick
dodges.
It back to the station.
Yeah, they had some cautions.
Yeah, but nothing major where it's a station standby.
The end was great. You know, Riley Herbst that kind of got involved in that accident, his grandmother lives here in town.
Really?
Know. Yeah.
Did you say Herbst?
Herbst, Riley Herbst.
Any relation? Terrible?
Yeah. It's Troy's son. His grandmother lives here in town.
Oh, okay.
And is good friends with people I know.
Didn't know. We have a special guest today.
We do.
Yes. Why don't you do the introduction?
No, all you.
You want me to do the introduction?
Very special guest.
Well, this, by the way, is Chad Hansen. He is founder and CEO of Mojave Mortgage. And, of course, they're online at mojavemortgages.com. And our special guest, she wants to be referred to as a special guest, not a regular.
Right.
Yeah, right? Is Jennifer Luzy from the Luzy Group. The Jennifer Luzy Group. Sorry
Hi.
About that. Hi.
At Keller Williams, yep.
At Keller Williams. How are you? We've never met before.
I know. It's kind of crazy because I've been here a long time.
I've heard your name on the radio a million times. Or the Luzy name, and you've heard my name on the radio a few times.
I'm Paul LaVoy.
A couple days. Yeah, I'm Paul LaVoy. Right. I used to do that in the show. Anyway, but you can, it's the Jennifer Luzy with an I group.com, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Right. How long have you been in real estate?
Since 2009.
Okay. I always say too long when, how long have you been in radio?
No, not too long.
I just can't believe how long it has been, but 2009.
Yeah, it was a very interesting market back then.
It was. That's a strange time to come into real estate.
Yeah.
What a challenge.
It was a tragic. Yeah, it was a very difficult market. But a lot of good has come out of that.
So you probably have seen a lot of really good names go at that time. They were like, well, I can't do this anymore. Because 2009 was pretty challenging.
It was a very challenging time. Yeah, a lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people lost their homes. A lot of people lost a lot of things. It was a difficult time. A lot of the realtors did stay around, and now some of them, of course, have retired.
Yeah, we had school districts around here, like, I don't want to say which city, that lost retirement pensions, you know? I mean, big time losses in that era. So, but obviously you're doing much better.
Well,
I love the leopard glasses, by the way. Those are great.
Thank you. Yes, I am. I survived, so I'm still here, and we're still really, really productive.
If you know Chad, you're doing really well.
She's killing it.
That's all I'm
saying. She's already killing
it. Right, right, right. I have to give street cred, props, whatever you want to call it, to Bobby Lewis.
Without
Bobby
Bob.
Lewis,
yes.
Julie Lewis. Just, you know, I had this idea. We had Chad on one segment. We had Bobby on another segment. And I'm like, why don't we just put peanut butter and chocolate together, man?
What?
You know?
Which one am I?
I don't know, man. It's just, I'm just saying, why don't we mix the two? These two need to meet. And it has turned into this like 4 years later.
Yeah.
It's hard to believe we've been doing it that long.
Yeah.
But the Real Estate Power Hour.
Boom!
That's it. That's kind of a boom thing.
That's right.
Right. So what Bobby would do is provide numbers.
Okay.
And Bobby is like the numbers guru in that. And we would usually refer to the month before mm-hmm. or the 2 month period and then compare to the year and all that. You know how that works.
Mm-hmm.
You're in real estate. So what do you got numbers wise? Because Chad takes notes, by the way.
Oh,
he has a journal.
So he's keeping track in his journal.
I do.
He does.
So last month for January, we closed 84 total listings.
84 sold?
84
sold. Is that
sold.
SFR or total?
That's all residential. Not just single family, just residential. So that includes your condos, townhomes, manufactured homes, your whole market.
Wow.
84. Because we thought we were going to jump from...
That's coming from LHC stats.
Wow.
We thought we were going to go from 109, I think
it
was.
We were 111, SFR, condo 11, and manufactured 8. Wow.
Wow, that is a big drop.
It is a big drop.
What do you attribute that to, or do you?
I was just going to ask the
actually,
same question.
The numbers I track on residential are down overall, and they have been down for the last probably 3 months.
Oh, okay.
I would say November, down, which is not, I mean, interest rates, of course, scared everybody away. Not everybody. It scared a lot of people away because what's really super interesting, last year, we did 73% of our transactions were financed, which is kind of super interesting when you look at that kind of a number. I think last year we did a total of cash transactions, which you have to add in 1031 exchange because that's technically cash too, which was 529 units, which is a lot. Now, mind you, my stats are only what people put in the MLS. If they don't put in how the property closed or sold out as, then I don't have accurate information. I can only go with what's been posted. So in 2025, we did 744 posted, 744 conventional loans, 93 FHA, and I put VA along with USAA.
USDA.
USDA.
Yep. I put them all together at 80.
Wait a minute. You had USDA financing?
No, I think it's USA. Yeah, US. I'll have to look again.
Or the lender.
Mm-mm. It's an option in our MLS, and I cannot get there at this moment because
I did not
bring my laptop.
So the financing – so, wait, you're listing the sources of financing that are available.
That you're supposed to, as a realtor, input into the transaction
right.
at close.
Because we can do USDA here in Havasu, mm-hmm. but it has to be in Heights. So anything in town, we can't do it. And for those that don't know, and I'm sure you know, USDA is 100% financing, just like VA, and you don't have to be a veteran. You don't have to – you can just – you don't have to have served. So,
which is a super cool opportunity.
It is. Yeah. We do USDA loans,
and
but mostly
how do those,
Kingman.
How do those rates apply?
They're typically going to follow your FHA rates, so they're going to be a little bit better than what you would see on the conventional side. But once again, you still have to take into consideration that it is 100% financing. So, but on a FHA loan, you're going to have what's called UFMIP or upfront mortgage insurance. You will also have that on the USDA, but it is lower. Typically, the interest rates on the USDA loans will be lower than you would see on the conventional loans, but the qualifications for USDA are a little bit more stringent when we run it through the automated underwriting systems called, it's called GUS, G-U-S, and we have to run that through a different system. FHA, we run through your standard Fannie Mae, Freddie mm-hmm. Mac type processes. So, but yeah, USDA's been, it's been fun, but we do most of them in Kingman and Mojave Valley. We don't see a lot of them in the Heights because most of the folks that are buying in the Heights are going out there and they've sold homes somewhere else and they're trying to get out of the hustle and the bustle.
Right. They're looking for space.
Very unique area out there. There's some neat stuff.
Oh, in the Heights, yeah, yeah. Very cool stuff.
Have you ever
out there.
Been to the Circle T honey place?
No, not the honey place.
There's a beekeeper out there.
Uh-huh. I know that there is a beekeeper.
It's really cool.
Tannery, what was her name? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember. We did a video with them where they put me in a beekeeper outfit one time.
Oh God. Oh,
it was goodness. We spent hours
what
out
you,
there.
It the was new fun. Dirty jobs guy.
Yeah, it was yeah, we call those Mojave Mortgage Adventures and they send
right.
me out to do stupid stuff once in a while. And yeah. We came up with this beekeeper thing. I don't know if you've ever been in a beekeeper outfit.
No.
They I'm definitely are, afraid of bees.
They are hot.
No way.
I mean, I thought I was going to die.
Right.
It was so hot. But really neat out there.
So Chad has a catchphrase on this show called the Refinance-a-Palooza. And with those numbers that we just heard from Jennifer, Chad, what do you think about the prospects now of a Refinance-a-Palooza?
It's close. And I say that every month. I'm like, okay, yeah, bonds are going in our direction. And then as soon as I get off the show, by the time I leave here and I jump in the Mojave Mortgage Time Machine and go back up to the office, which is a 2005 Toyota, by the way.
The time machine.
Yeah, that's my time. It's a time machine.
Okay.
Yeah. So once I go back to the office, it's crazy. I don't know. I think maybe I have more influence on the market than I think, because as soon as I say they're correcting, then I get back to my office and we get smacked in the face. So, and I've said that many times on the show before, is that I've never seen in the 27 years I've been originating loans, it's 27 now. It was 26 up until a couple months ago. That I've never seen the pendulum of rates swing as wildly as they have. Jennifer, I think that you can attest that, you know, you've been doing this since since '08, and when you have interest rates that are, you know, stabilized in the mid fives, and then we have COVID, we see interest rates at 2.5, and then all of a sudden,
even prior to COVID, they were low.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Coming into that, and then 2022, then we started seeing interest rates in the sevens. How do you, I mean, and I've mentioned this on the show before that, if we had a rate correction of 0.375 in a week, that was a big deal to us back in the early 2000s and even after the crash. But now you'll see interest rate corrections, you know, 0.625 in a week, and it's been a wild ride.
Yeah, it's very different. And when you think about, like, when our first mortgages, I think we bought our first house in 89,
jeez,
our interest rate was 18%,
yeah,
which was unbelievable. And then,
do you remember what the asking price was?
Oh, we were like in Huntington Beach, like 200,000, 200 something.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Wait a minute, you lived in Huntington Beach?
Yeah, we
wow.
lived in Huntington Beach.
What a coincidence, small world.
Yeah, yeah. and then come out here and, you know, then our interest rates were like 6%. That's what I can remember the most. We sold and then moved out here, mm-hmm. So we left Huntington, came straight here. I don't believe we did a refi before we got here in 95. And so then interest rates then at that time were like 7. Mm-hmm. There was some 12, but 7, 6. And they stayed there for like 15 years, mm-hmm. somewhere around in that realm. And then we got into the 5s, then 3s, because in that time, you know, we're coming out of the recession, which really...
With the air quotes.
Yeah, recession. So that was somewhere like around 2012, 13, I want to say rates dropped to 3%, which was super interesting back then. Actually, even the whole, I think maybe it even been was 10, we were down to 3%, that we had so many cash contracts. But of course, you know, the foreclosure banks and the short sales, they all wanted to see cash contracts. They didn't really want to see finance contracts because everybody was burned, I guess, on mm-hmm. financing. But money was cheap back then, super, super cheap. And then now it's not.
Right. Well,
and price points have jumped up considerably since.
Right. Yeah. So when you first moved here and you bought your first house here, what was the sales price?
110.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
We sold a motorhome to get here.
Right.
And a house.
Wow.
You can't even buy a nice motorhome for 110 now.
Yeah, tell me about it. You quoted me one, remember?
I did?
Yeah.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. It was the old Mojave Mortgage Mobile, what do you call it? The Mobile
Command
Center?
Oh, that's the Mobile Command Center.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
The old one.
Oh, yeah, the old one.
Right, right. Let's take a short break. Great job on the first segment, by the way. Really kind of went where I wasn't expecting, but it was great.
Killing it.
She
yeah.
likes country, by the way.
This is the killing it crew.
And who that likes country does not like Jason Aldean?
Oh, no doubt.
Oh, absolutely. So there's How Far Does a Goodbye Go by Jason Aldean. Did you get to see him in concert, by the way?
I'm embarrassed to say I don't really know
who
he is. Oh, wait, he's
Sugar.
The R-Town guy.
Oh, Sugar.
Right? Oh, Sugar. He's the Small Town.
Small Town.
Yeah. That's
good,
a cool song.
Good call. That's a great song.
Yeah.
All right, back with more in a moment. It's the Real Estate Power Hour.
Boom!
With Chad Hansen, founder and CEO of Mojave Mortgage, and Jennifer Luzzi from the Jennifer Luzzi Group. I'm going to repeat the website.
I love those guys.
That's your catchphrase, right? The JenniferLuzzi Group.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back. If you want to chime in, it's 928-854-5687, 928-854-KNTR. Or you can text us your question at 928-727-5566. Stay with us. We'll be right back on the Real Estate Power Hour.
Boom.
Alright, welcome back to Speak Out. By request of Chad Hansen.
Boom! Boom! No, that was... this is Jennifer's
I think it was
request.
Rittenhouse.
Oh, I think it was Rittenhouse.
I think Kyle Rittenhouse. Rittenhouse, yeah. That's about when this got popular, after he defended his small town.
Yeah.
Is what he was doing, walking down the street. You can't blame the kid, you know? It'd be like a kid from Havasu being invaded by protesters saying, hey, get out of here. Right?
Let's not get all political.
We got pride in this town. I'm just saying.
We're keeping politics out of the Power Hour.
That's my opinion. All right. Of course, broadcasting live from the City Maytag Speak Out Kitchen with no sink. You can find City Maytag, 911 North Lake Havasu Avenue. You know, to people, you might not have ever heard this show, Jennifer, but the Speak Out Kitchen with no sink, you're in that room. Yeah, there's no sink in here.
Nope, there is no sink.
There's one up here, but it was donated by Wayne Malone from Neat Pools. It's a toy sink.
That's kind of cute.
He hasn't plumbed it yet.
Well,
so
yeah.
I guess that's what you call it, right?
Well, he's a pool guy. I'm
plumbed
sure he can figure it out.
He is a pool guy, and he will admit it. All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Mojave Mortgage.
Oh, I love those guys.
Yeah, I kind of do. No, I love those guys, too. Also, Mojave Electric Cooperative. Bradley Chevrolet and Bradley Ford by TWN Fiber Internet. Also, Salmon's Air Conditioning. Blonzy Steakhouse, North London Bridge Road by A&B Propane, abpropaneaz.com. There you have it, right?
Yeah.
Great sponsors.
You want to hear a funny story, A&B Propane.
I put Small Town in a search.
Yeah?
I got like the next five songs now.
Of course. A&B Propane, I have... Well, as a lot of people do, I have their tanks and I had to get them filled, right?
Uh-huh.
And so they come out and fill them. And I was looking at the invoice and I'm thinking to myself, wow, that really is a lot of money. How does the math work on this? So I called them and I go, I think your math is wrong.
Uh-oh.
I'm a math guy, right? That's what I do.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at it and I'm like, I think your math is wrong. I have 210-gallon tanks and you gave me 200 gallons of propane. The math doesn't work for me. And the lady, I could tell on the phone, was going, who is it? I mean, she knows who I am because I do business with them. But
right.
She's like, you're a math guy. You can't figure out that 210s equal 220. And I go, there's no way I could take 200 gallons of propane. And she said, Chad, I'm going to let you do the math. And I thought about it. I go, okay, thanks. As soon as I got it, I just hung up. I go, okay, thanks. Bye. But the bill was like $580. I said, holy cow.
Yeah. Energy, man. Energy costs.
Yeah. I don't know if you thought that was a funny story, but I did.
I was going to say, okay. Jennifer, I think we had to be there.
kind of.
The moral of the story is the math guy can't do basic math.
Oh, I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Math, not in our
Sorry,
town.
That was probably not one of my better stories. Whatever.
That's okay.
I'll make up for
That's
it,
okay.
Though.
You want to hear another story?
Yes.
Jennifer has cash buyers.
Oh,
there's no fiction there, right?
Yeah, no, just, nope, we just need proof.
That's where he really takes notes. He doesn't like that word. We advised him on using the word hate in the break,
dislike.
Right?
Dislike.
He dislikes
Correct.
Cash.
So looking at my numbers for January, there were three 1031 exchanges and 44 cash. So that's 47 in the single family market. And
47 out of 87?
Well,
yeah.
No. Hold on.
So that's more than half.
Well, my phone is stuck here.
That's one of the biggest numbers we've seen.
It is. It is.
Percentage-wise, as far as cash.
I mean, first you hear the rates are going down, or you hear the Fed is going to have a new chair, and then this happens.
Well, as soon as that was announced, interest rates went up. So one of the biggest misconceptions that we run into quite a bit is as soon as the Federal Reserve meets and they lower the prime rate, then interest rates are going to follow. And in the last three meetings, they have not. They've gone up.
Correct. So, it's because of the bond market is where the rates come from, and people they're not educated on that.
Yeah. Well, we try to do our best.
No, but as a general public, when the media
and I tell everybody, follow the 10-year Treasury bond. As soon as you see that go down, interest rates will fall.
Well, next thing you know, they're going to be trading their gold for a house. You seen the price of gold lately?
Well, it tanked last week or the week before.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
But, and silver did, too. But silver was up to like $90 an ounce.
Right.
I mean, that's crazy.
Well, gold was up over $5,000.
I remember when I was a young man in college, I worked at a place that bought gold salts. It was a jewelry manufacturing company, and they did plating. So they would buy gold salts. And I remember the owner of that company always told me as a young man, buy gold, buy gold, buy gold. And I never listened because as a young man, you're in college, you know, the only gold you want to see is the gold in a beer, in a 12-pack box, right?
That and you're invincible and living Friday to Friday.
But I remember him saying, man, I think gold's going to hit $300 an ounce. And I at that point, I didn't,
That's
300 bucks back then was a lot of money. But man, if I had a time machine like we talked about earlier, oh, geez, I would have taken some of my money that I made and bought an ounce of gold every month.
Well, that's like when they found Teddy Binion's silver cash that was all buried. I don't know. Ted Binion was Benny Binion's son or grandson, and his girlfriend was on trial for the murder of Teddy Binion. But they found all this silver, and it was valued then at like maybe $10.
Less than that.
I
remember probably in the early aughts, silver was three something.
Yeah, sure.
I should have bought it then. Yeah.
Should have, could have.
I should have bought it a year
ago.
Right. Actually, I did. I bought my wife silver for our silver anniversary.
Oh, that was
good. Oh, I remember that.
25.
I was there.
You were there.
Yes.
25 years, and I thought, well, what do you buy for somebody? So it's silver anniversary. So I went out and bought 25 ounces of silver, and that's what I gave her as a gift.
Wow.
She didn't really, I mean.
That was at a good time. It was last year.
I think I only paid $30.
Yeah, did good.
I thought that was a neat kind of think outside the box.
Did you get
sort
dumped on the head?
No. She actually, when I explained it to her, I said, it's our silver anniversary. Here's 25 ounces of silver. She goes, what am I going to do with that? I go, whatever you want.
Make it rain.
Well, you can't make it rain because that hits you in the head. You're going to have a problem. But I thought that was a pretty neat gift.
It was. It was very clever.
Thank you.
I did your 5-year, I made it to 5. Actually, I made it to 17 once. But on my 5th year, that's the wooden anniversary. And I made solid oak end tables.
Oh,
you made them.
Yes.
Now, see, that's
cool.
A cool gift.
Well, I helped make them, and I did all the finish work.
That's cool.
Yes.
Very cool.
Yeah, and I still have them. I have them now.
Well, then you can't say you didn't build a good product.
Yes, they're solid oak.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool.
But what do we learn from this now when you have that many cash buyers in a market that had that few transactions for the period?
I think people are still somewhat carried away by what the interest rates are. I think that the perception is that, you know, interest rates are so high. But we also still have, and Jennifer, back me up on this. If I'm wrong, tell me. But a lot of sellers are saying, well, I got 2.5%, so why would I sell my house? Because I'm going to end up paying 6 right now, or 6 1/8, or whatever it is. And I think that the mentality, and I don't mean that in a rude way. I don't. I mean it very respectfully. I mean, I don't want to sell my house either.
Me
either. I couldn't afford to replace it, and the interest rate I have on my mortgage, where am I going to go?
Right.
Well, there is enough inventory to go somewhere else, though, correct?
Yeah, what's
the
inventory?
Well, we're tracking about 5 months' supply. So I think
400, 500?
So 400, yeah.
Yeah. We're tracking 5.13 month supply. So
if we stuck at 84.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. But we went from in December, there were 111 single-family residences. We went down to 84. That's a pretty significant drop in a month. And we were
As far as pending or listed?
Total sold.
Yeah.
So we were talking off the air, and the that number is pretty significant. And in December, we had a very good month as far as closings at Mojave Mortgage.
Oh, you did.
We had a great month. And then, but in December, it seems as though the originations just shut off. Everybody just kind of went to sleep, which is rare because we're typically more busy in the winter months and slower in the summer.
We've transitioned a little bit. I would say I agree with you 100%, but the last couple of years, our winter months have not been as solid as they were years ago. Our summer months have picked up and producing more closed volume than we used to do prior to 2019.
Do you think that's because a lot of the people, when they come, say, our snowbirds that come out of the Midwest or the Pacific Northwest, do you think it's sticker shock?
I think a lot of it is sticker shock.
You think so? Yeah.
Our price point's gone up so much.
Right.
Tremendously.
But we're still down, what, 8% year over year is what your numbers told me
right now, correct.
Yeah. But we were at 18% a few months back year over year. Mm-hmm. So we're starting to claw back some of those losses. Well, they're unrealized gains anyways. But so if we're starting to claw back on some of those losses, what's our summer season going to look like?
It's going to be interesting.
It's going to be interesting to see.
Well, we've talked on the show, too, in the recent past about the Canadian visitors. And because of the disparity with the American dollar and the Canadian dollar, that's having an impact on our market, too. Are you seeing that?
Yes, very much so. I've had only one this summer or this winter Canadian that was interested in purchasing.
Only one.
A gazillionaire? No, I'm kidding.
He was writing cash on that. He's not my buyer. He was on the listing.
Sure.
But as far as sellers go, I had a number of them sell as soon as the election happened. And then I have just a couple right now that are selling.
Their election.
Our election.
Oh, our election.
Last year.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I got you. All right. Let's
A lot of them are still coming in to visit still, too.
Are they?
Just
do you think they're just doing mostly Airbnb
or
motorhomes? A lot of them come in the motorhome. I call it the color change when all the license plates start changing colors.
That's funny.
That's our color change.
Change of season.
Yeah. Yep.
Right. And the driving habits.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
You have to drive slower.
Right. Well, now with the medians there, you can use the right lane more.
Let's not
go
there.
I'm just saying, you can use the right lane more, and people like me get to pass.
They should have just painted they shouldn't have put any yellow paint on them. They should have just painted them black.
Yeah?
Because there's so many tire marks on them.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Well, they're out there working on them now through March something.
They're
going to
narrow them, right?
No, they're going to take about 6 inches off the sides.
Yeah, they need to.
Were you one of the victims?
No, but whoever has seen a median go yellow to yellow, like the outside edges of the yellow line?
Yeah, right.
They cut out like a foot of the lane.
Yeah.
And if you're in a big rig, if you're in a motorhome,
there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, you got nowhere to go.
Well, let's salute ADOT.
Yeah.
There you go. All right. Perfect. Little small town Saturday night. Of course, Hal Ketchum right here on the Real Estate Power Hour.
Boom!
All right. And that's Chad Hansen, founder and CEO of Mojave Mortgage. We also have Jennifer Luzzi in the house.
I'm here.
Yeah, she's here. We're going to go over the average price.
And the median.
The average, the median, the million sellers.
Yes, the million sellers.
Right? We haven't done those yet.
And the 300 sellers. We didn't know about those.
When we come back on Speak Out. Stay with us.
Yeah, this is my town.
All right, one of my favorite country bands from, I don't know if I would call that 90s country or not, Jennifer, but Montgomery Gentry, definitely one of my favorites. One of my favorite songs to play by them, by the way, Chadwick, is Speed. Have you ever heard that song? It's about getting in your truck and just driving your heartache away, right? When your heart gets broken?
I don't listen to Speed.
It's the name of the song.
I just drive it.
There you go. How fast do you say you get on one of them straightaways over there at Havasu 95?
Well, you have to put it all into relation. When your rear end's only 4 inches off the ground, and you do the math and you kind of get your slide rule out, it's about 912 miles an hour.
You use a slide rule?
Well, I thought
you were a math guy.
When I have time in the car, yeah. What do you think I do in there?
Computers, man.
Have you ever been to the races?
Oh, yeah. My oldest did. He raced with Bazanson. Rick Bazanson's twins.
Uh-huh.
They got a car together. They did it, yeah.
Yeah,
he hit the wall.
I run street stock.
He's very familiar with it.
I know the wall. The wall and I are not friends.
Funny.
So.
All right, Speak Out brought to you in part by Western Arizona Regional Medical Center. Love those guys?
I don't know them.
You don't know those guys?
No, I don't want to know anybody at a medical center because then that means I got problems.
All right, also Springberg Wealth Management.
I know him.
By the chair, Laughlin Ranch, Mojave College, SamsGuns.com, by Solar Power, by Esme Electric, Dorita's Place, and by Legacy Rehab and Care in Bullhead City. Don't forget to shop local, spend local, eat local, play local, and use a local real estate.
And lender.
And lender.
Right?
And mortgage broker.
There's only two of us in town.
Yeah?
Right.
The other ones are...
They're all owned by somebody Creepo who does not live in town.
What do you call them? Creepo and Sprocket.
Sprocket.
That's the name there. So before we went to break, we did this thing in radio. Jennifer, it's called a tease. Like, na-na-na-na, right? And we were talking about million dollar sellers. How many did we have? We've been hovering around then between 8 and I'd say 12 for the past year, Chad?
There were 13 in January.
What?
I'm sorry. In December.
Did you just spoil her surprise?
No.
Okay.
He's fine. December, as far as, yeah.
Sticking up for Chad.
Yeah, no. All good.
So what was the following month, January?
Well, whoops, looking at my numbers, I'm going to say in the closed market, I only see, on this list, I only see about 3. Now, my numbers could be off, but I don't know.
See, that's low.
Yeah, my numbers might be off, and I had...
I doubt that.
No.
I have a feeling your numbers are spot on.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
That number might be off.
Where do you think those were?
Because I've got, as far as pending, we had 4, 5. Six.
Six pending.
Mm-hmm.
That right now.
That was for January.
Oh. Okay.
Or right now, I didn't look.
Oh.
Any idea where those are selling the most? Would it be up
Foothills.
In the Foothills or the Riviera?
What's going on at the Riviera? There doesn't seem to be a lot of movement there.
They've sold a lot of properties out
there.
Did
they?
Yeah.
But land, the homes. Are the homes selling?
I want to say, and I didn't look at it specifically before I got here, but I believe that they just closed one. Out there.
They did like a $4 million one, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Big one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they are selling homes out there for sure.
It's a very unique place, the Riviera.
It's beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the views are insane. Mm-hmm.
There's one home there I saw from the marina. It has a roof that just goes on forever with no support. And I thought, wow, it's quite the engineering feat when you look at it.
Well, it's done with cables.
It's done with something.
It's done with strings.
Cables to God, I guess.
Done with strings.
So we were talking during the break about the new structure now for commissions for real estate agents or the real estate broker even. How has that changed in the past couple of years? I know it was a court case and then it turned it turned into policy now?
Policy through the National Association of Realtors.
How does it work?
Well, in the past, a listing agent would share their compensation with a buyer's agent, and we would post that information as to what we were sharing on the MLS. Then they said that was not, quote, clear transparency ruling, so they took that away from us, and now a listing agent negotiates their compensation with the seller. And the buyer's agent also negotiates a compensation with the buyer. In this case, many buyers are not structured per se to pay a compensation. So they are still asking the seller to pay a compensation to the buyer's agent, which, and, you know, to help the seller, sometimes that's, that helps on their, the difference of their capital gains, right? Because your closing settlement statement is your cost to sell, based upon your, gain. So it does have a positive effect there. And,
but as a, as an agent, you can't put in any input whatsoever then?
How does that work?
Does the person have to know that, you know, back in the day, she made 3% or the broker made 6%?
Well, the broker didn't make, well, the broker didn't make 6%.
No.
The broker always shared. Generally speaking, shared. And if, unless the agents were of the same brokerage, then yes.
Right. That's what I did when I bought my first house.
From,
it was an agent agent broker.
Oh, it was a dual agent.
Yes.
Two agents in the same roof, or one agent representing a seller and the buyer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's dual. So yeah, we, as far as that goes, we just share that, you know, this is where compensation is. This is what the buyer's agent is asking for. And many sellers are still prepared to compensate a buyer's agent. And there are some sellers who aren't. But you, as a listing agent, I have to help communicate to them how much work that the buyer agent does for the transaction.
Is there any major change for you, though?
No.
As the agent?
Just conversations.
Oh, okay.
No, I've always been...
Sounds more tedious.
yeah.
I like the answer.
our business is getting there, but yeah, it's I've been generally a listing agent, and I have buyer's agents and listing agents, of course, with me, and I have, you know, I have to protect them as well.
Okay. What, how does any of this affect you, Chad?
Yeah, sometimes.
I mean, not as much as it does on the real estate side. I'm very good at staying in my lane. And, you know, that. In fact, I had, it was funny, I had one of our loan officers today was asking questions. A real estate agent wanted a copy of a loan estimate. And unfortunately, that's not our position to give. So I said, you have to tell the real estate agent, they have to get that from the buyer.
That's, yeah.
But to answer your question, not as much as you would think, but I know that it had, it put the real estate agents, I mean, because once in a while I talked to a couple of them, the conversations that the listing side, and Miss Luzzi would probably attest to this, it's just, it's a different conversation, and it's much more open and honest, which I think is what they were going for, but I don't think it had much change other than, hey, this is how it has to be, and I think Miss Luzzi hit it on the head when she said, people don't realize how much work a real estate agent actually does. They bust their back.
Walk me through that. That's really interesting. I mean, you see, like in the movie, I don't remember what it was, American, the one that Annette Bening was in, she was a real estate agent. She goes in and there's an open house. And she's scrubbing the, you know, scrubbing the floors and doing the windows and cleaning the pool.
Made beds. We picked up dog poop. I mean, you do it all. Oh, heck yeah. You do it all.
It's crazy how much work they do.
Just for an open house?
For anything. I mean, if you know you have a, if you know you have a showing and the house isn't right, you've got to tidy up. You got to make it look good. And so an open house, of course, is a showing. And you want the front yard, the backyard, and the house to look its absolute best.
It's like if I'm going to trade a car in, right?
Yeah, you get it detailed.
I get it detailed, I'm going to get more for the trade. It's going to pay for that detail.
Sure.
And yeah, and that's our job, is to market. And part of that is making beds, picking up clothes, yeah.
So we've
putting dishes away.
We've said on the show in the past, in fact, I think Bobby has said it, that people, you don't see the empty houses anymore, or do you?
There are empty houses. In Havasu, we have lots of vacant homes.
You have vacant homes now? What was he saying? Was
we
it,
stage. You do, we stage?
Staging.
Yeah,
yes.
Staging is a big thing, yes.
It is a big thing.
Yep.
What is staging?
It just softens the corners. It helps the buyer to...
Softens the corners. I love that.
Okay.
But it it just allows the buyer to see ideas, different ideas, and it gives it just a little bit of warmth instead of four cold walls, and what would you do with them?
How much has changed since you got into the business? And you said 2009. Mm. What a tough time to come in. I mean, I was changing businesses. I went from radio to a totally different style of work, which was writing grants.
Oh, believe sugar.
I was,
that's huge.
Yeah. I, nice.
I thought he was
like
going to say
sugar.
Male cabaret, but
No. I mean, you're asking for money when there's none available, right? So for a nonprofit, no less. But now you're trying to sell homes in a market where it's depressed. The cash is not what it used to be.
But it's not depressed like it was depressed. Like before, it was just tragic.
I always thought we were a little behind the nationwide trend. Like it got really bad on the national level, but here it was like a 6 to 8 month repercussion.
Pretty much so 3 months behind.
And then to recover, it was just as long, it seemed like.
The recovery was long across the country.
But it seemed like the rest of the country is recovering, and then 8 months later, that's what they were talking about.
and our recovery, I mean, if you think about it, the housing market, because of the 2007, 8, 9, 10, we didn't
too
build
big
as,
to fail.
We didn't build as many homes. So that's where our price point went higher, I believe, is because there wasn't enough inventory to support the demand. And what does that do? That teeter-totter, the demand increases the price point.
So speaking of not enough homes, a lot of people are talking about short-term rentals gobbling up the availability in the market as far as, homes for sale or even rentals, for that matter. Are you seeing that as well?
Well, we did see that, yes. The short-term rental program did kick off pretty strong. Of course, COVID was the catalyst for that. But today we are seeing a number of those short-term rentals coming back on the market.
For sale.
For sale, correct.
I've noticed that too.
Yeah,
we
last year and this
year. We did a lot of loans in 2019, 2018, and then that short-term rental when COVID hit was crazy.
Right.
And a lot of people that hadn't bought before the real pandemic started, they were kind of a little late to the game, but we're seeing a lot of those.
They're coming back.
They're
on
coming
the
back on the market because the short-term rental seems to be softening.
And it is, and I think again that goes back to the cost of living,
right,
which our interest rates affect, and people aren't doing the travel that they did do in states.
And like we were talking about, I think I said this about a year and a half ago when we were talking about credit cards being maxed out. I said, I think you're going to see the short-term rental market take a little bit of a hit because people won't be able to use that, $500, $600, $700 that they thought they had on their credit card.
Credit card debt right now is a pandemic in and of itself.
Oh, I know.
I mean,
we're not part of it either.
$1.1 trillion in outstanding debt with average interest rates in the low 20s. It's crazy. And it's, I think Trump, when he said we're going to cap them at 10%.
What do you think of that idea?
I think that if the government interferes with free enterprise, that it is a bad deal. And you know what? It's a great idea, but you're meddling in, you're playing in a mud pit that it's really not the government's business. Don't get me started on my...
No, that's a good point. Short-term rentals just go to prove that. I mean, it's correcting itself.
It is correcting itself.
Well,
but the problem is that the whole credit industry struggles because, when people start to have low cash, what do?
Right.
They put it on credit.
Right.
And then things start to get a little out of balance. So then they refi the house typically to put everything, bundle it all into a package and try to get that one payment. But the problem is habits.
Right.
We all have habits.
Right.
And that spending habit is kind of like eating, like you go on a diet, you lose the weight, but you don't change how you eat.
I don't know anything about that. I've been softening my corners for quite a few years.
She doesn't know my pronouns yet.
Yeah. What is it? I'm hungry.
My pronouns are he, him, and hungry.
I'm going to use that when someone says, you need to lose some weight. I'm going to say, what are you talking about? I'm just softening the corners.
There you go.
All right.
Softening the corner. Staging.
I'm staging.
Staging. When I can't think of something, I'm buffering. Exactly. Jennifer, it's been really great having you on the show.
Thank you.
She's welcome back, by the way.
Well,
Jennifer loses.
She makes us look better.
Well, there is that.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
Doesn't take much.
Yeah.
We both have faces for radio.
Yeah, that's right.
That's Chad Hansen, founder and CEO of Mojave Mortgage. And, of course, Jennifer Luzzi from The Luzzi Group. And it's thejenniferluzzigroup.com.
Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. You coming back?
Sure, next month.
Yeah, next month.
All right.
Let's do it
third,
again.
What, the
third
Wednesday.
Wednesday.
third Wednesday of every month. It's the best show on radio.
That's right.
But I'm biased.
There was something right. from the Big Lebowski that you used to say, but I got to go to break.
It ties the room together.
Stay with us. We'll be right back. Or I'll be right back with a final shot.
Because it makes me think of her, and that just slows me up. See, it's the first place we made love, where we used to sit and talk on the tailgate all night long. But now she's gone.
All right, welcome back to Speak Out. A little preview of tomorrow. Of course, it's Sound Advice with Brian Springberg. But on Friday, another special show. John Gillette is coming in, Legislative District 30 Representative John Gillette. He's got some. He's got a bill that he's walking through, so we're going to get the skinny on that. Up next, of course, it's Karate Man, Sean Hannity. Stay with us on KNTR Talk all afternoon long.
This is KNTR Talk, KGJJ HD2 Laughlin. Heard on 106.7 FM, 106.5, and 106.3. The voice of the free.